Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Student of the Game. I am Kyle Nash, the Student of the Game, and here with me in studio, Chris and Weasel, bringing you football talk just the way you like it. Guys, I don't know about you all. On the surface, look, we had some garbage games out there. There were some games that were less than, I don't know how you say, what you expect in a football contest. But there were some worth watching, too. And guys, look, let's be clear. We're going to do the public at large a favor. Stupid bell. We're in class. What are you doing? We're going to do the public at large a favor and, simply put, spend less time talking about teams like, you know, I'm just going to call them out. If you're a fan of the Titans, for example, you probably won't like this show. I am not going to spend much time on Zach Mettenberger. I'm sorry. That being said, playoff pictures are starting to form. Yeah, we'll leave it that simple. Chris, I don't know about you, but yeah, we'll leave that part out. Actually, I don't want to do any spoilers. And of course, well, hey, we know who's going to lead us off this week because he has the Browns and the Bengals from Thursday night. Weasel, Weez!
Yeah, boy.
There he is, ready to bring you game number one for week 10 of action. Weasel, what do you got?
So we got on the road, the Browns, they shocked the Bengals 24-3. So Browns quarterback Brian Hoyer, 198 yards passing, but you have Ben Tate and two rookie running backs, Terrence West and Isaiah Crowell, each had rushing touchdowns. Andy Dalton did pretty terrible.
TRBL. Look, I'm a Dalton guy. I'm going to call what it is. He had a bad game. And
I'm surprised you're getting that many letters.
It's like, well, we haven't already budgeted. I mean, anyways.
He went to 10 of 33. Which is, I think, 33% right there.
That's pretty bad. That's less than 33%, yeah. Actually. I'm not trying to split hairs with you, but it's that bad that it's less than 33%.
So we got 86 yards and three INTs. He did have A.J. Green playing this game, though.
Yeah, so he just has less excuses.
Yeah, exactly. He was held to 23 yards. Mm-hmm. So in this game, of course, turnovers matter. Bengals had four to the Browns, one. So you got the Cleveland Browns at 6-3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That.
Now, the AFC North, they are alone at the top because either the Ravens or the Bengals had a tie, had one of the games.
It was the Bengals who tied the Panthers.
So there was a tie there. So they're up a half a game, essentially.
Yeah.
So can they keep it up to the end of the year? Maybe they'll have an old wide receiver or someone from past years. From last year to come back, what do y'all think?
From past years, if the man in question, first of all, you say they. I don't know that the Bengals could keep it up in second place in the AFC North. I don't know that the Ravens can keep it up being third place in the. I don't know if the Steelers can. I don't know if anybody in that effing division can keep it up. That's why that's a good question, Weasel. Mm-hmm. However, since when you said they, I'm sure you actually meant the Browns because they're atop the division
the
right
Browns,
now.
The Browns, yes.
Here's back. You do realize if he comes back, this is Gordon's second year, if I remember correctly, yes? So,
No, yeah. It's his. I think it's his third year. I'll look at
oh,
it, but it's
excuse
it's,
me. Yeah. It might as well be his second year. I'm just saying. No, but yeah, Weasel, that's a good point. I mean, good Gordon's impact with what they've done so far. And hey, look, I know a lot of people in the preseason. Weasel, you remember? Brian Hoyer was practically villainized. Oh, they're totally going to right?
It's you know. Pressure right off the beginning.
Yeah, so. I mean, put in Johnny Football. Oh, they drafted him, all this stuff. Hoyer keeps the starting job.
If people don't recognize the name Josh Gordon, he was the guy that last year played 14 out of 16 games.
Uh-huh.
First two, he was suspended. And he led the NFL in receiving yards. He was getting multiple 40-yard plays of over 40 yards, 20 yards, and the guy missed two games, then other guys that were in the top five, like Antonio Brown and such, and he was up like 300 yards on them. So
fewer games, more yards, second rookie or second-year player owning it.
It's pretty impressive. So
I think that's a bit of an understatement, but I'm not going to tell you you're wrong either. But, I mean, yeah, and to get that kind of a presence back, granted, I'm not expecting him to be that receiver from week one, but I mean, Weasel, shoot, even if he's back in week one, if you're a defensive coordinator, you're going to pay attention to that. Mm-hmm. There's not a question, right? Yeah. I mean, I'm saying, I don't know. Speaking of things that involved a lot of questions, a lot of people are going to have a lot of questions after the result of the Sunday night game.
Weasel, take us through this debacle. But wait, first of all, are you okay?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You know why I have to ask?
My wife, the Bears fan, instead of having any remote controls or a phone, she we got her this. I think she actually bought it. It was like this pink ball. It's a Bears one, and it's like a little bunny shape or something like that. And so I think she threw that thing at about 5-6 times in this game.
Only five or six times.
Because the thing was that this was an embarrassing game for the players and the fans of Chicago. And so the Bears on the road got crushed 55-14 against the Packers.
Hey, Weasel, would you dub this performance unacceptable?
Yes, yeah, pretty bad.
Okay, carry on.
So Rodgers threw for 6 touchdowns in the first half. Craziness. And so he ended the game with 315 yards, not sacked all game. Packers drives, first 5 possessions were touchdowns. So total.
I'm not laughing at you when you say not sacked all game, but like the thought that came across my mind when you said that was least of your problems.
Yeah. Yeah. So 6 touchdowns, 2 field goals. All right. So Cutler, 272 yards, 1 garbage time touchdown, and 2 INTs. And it was picked off by Casey Hayward late in the game. So net, he took that to the house to 82 yards.
But whatever. You know.
Kind of interesting thing was that with Clay Matthews was that he usually just, linebacker, he usually just rushes from the outer edge.
He's usually positioned as an outside linebacker.
So that's what he would do and stuff. But this game, and I think he's going to be definitely doing it for the rest of this year, is lining up on the inside, rushing mm-hmm. outside. So it's you can create your own mismatches there. So.
Right. They did it to pay attention to the fact, hey, we can't stop the run game. Sure, we beat the Bears last time, too. But, we want to stop the run game. And, I mean, you tell me, Weasel, did they make them one-dimensional and useless? You tell me. Scoreboard. You don't have to say anything else.
Yeah.
It's rhetorical, bro. You've done your job there.
Now, so we know that the defense is pretty bad. I mean, the rookie, Kyle Fuller, was one of the bright spots. Mm-hmm. They picked a good cornerback first round, but... the thing about the offense, they got talent, it's everywhere. You got Matt Forte, you got Brandon Marshall, you got Matt Alshon Jeffrey.
Martellus Bennett.
And pretty much the same players as last year.
Players as last year who were top 5 in passing with a backup quarterback.
And the thing about it was that this year, I think they were showing up some stats. It was like they have like one play over 40 yards or something like that, and it's just bad. And so that begs the reason, because Cutler, I mean, he's of course a big part of it, but the offensive guru, that's Mark Trestman, who do you think it's more the fault?
Well, I would even adjust your question, because we've asked that one slightly, and we were talking about this a little bit in prep. It says a lot that we're asking the same question twice about this football team.
Yeah.
I'm past that. My question would be, who should get fired? Now, I don't know the guy's name. I've heard it. But to be honest, I mean, I don't pay attention to that many guys in the front office. But I'm hearing a lot of talk that the Bears GM should be fired. I don't know. I really don't know that firing anybody right now is the answer for this season. I mean, I don't know where you fall on this, Chris, but at this point, I find that the start of a new season is the only thing that can really regenerate this squad. Is that, I mean, are you in that boat?
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I had the high expectations with the Bears this year.
Me too.
Getting how well they did last year. Yeah, you're getting Cutler back from the injury. You lost only like one key player on defense. Yeah, you lost Julius Peppers, but you get Jared Allen coming in.
Yeah.
And You're this bad. Someone needs to go. There needs to be something going on.
I was expecting a lot more from Jared Allen this season. So his name's been pretty quiet. So
you're the only one. It's you and a rookie, Willie Young. I mean, what are you supposed to do?
He has 2 defensive tackles that are rookies this year.
Yeah.
So I mean, of course he's gonna get double teamed.
Yep.
So you're not gonna see a lot from him until someone else steps up on that
I mean, let defense. Me ask you, Weasel, if the Vikings are playing against the Bears and they're not double-teaming Jared Allen, wouldn't you not call them doing it wrong, right?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's the reason why Julius Peppers went quiet for a bit with the Bears. They would start doing that. Of course, back then, there were still a few guys on defense that would make a difference. Coverage is the other issue. Look, Peanut Tillman is out. He got injured in the Niner game. If you have less coverage, you have less. If you have worse coverage, the quarterback can get rid of the ball quicker, which means less time for the defensive line to get there. Right? I mean, you know,
another guy that's not there was Brian Urlacher. So,
well, he's been retired for years, but Lance Briggs, like 157 years old, he's pretty useless now too.
So,
I know of a good friend of the show and actually host of the Gridiron Nation Wednesday night in our AFC North. Writer G. Stelio, a big Bears fan, Lance Briggs made some sort of a statement that he's thinking of retiring this year. Yeah. To quote him directly, good. So, yeah. I mean, I think there's a whole lot of reboot going on here. I don't know who you pin it on. I
think Trestman.
You think Trestman's the guy?
I think
huh?
he's the head coach, and I believe he's the one that they also calls the plays. I'm pretty sure of that because I think he always has that little.
The offensive genius tag, yeah.
He does have that, but what I'm saying is I think on the sideline, I think he's calling the plays. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, taking away attention to being a head coach about everything.
Here's what I know. I know that the action that they've said that they're going to take in a statement, which is none today during the day, will not make fans happy. They need a head to roll.
What I've noticed about all those things, it's usually about players and they say, oh, he's not going to get fired. He's going to play the rest of the season and stuff. And all that's just, I mean, a lot of it's just bull. So,
of course.
And because the GM or someone says one thing, bam, the next day they're gone. It's like.
Well, and this was Trestman saying that he's not going to fire any of his coaches. I don't know.
Just the last thing. I think Trestman kept the coaches, a lot of the coaches from the Lovie Smith era. Mm-hmm. I don't think. Brought in many of his own guys. So that was kind of,
Yeah.
That's because his guys couldn't get an American green card because they're all Canadian.
No. Well, I mean, since you mentioned, I'm going a little bit out of order of what I have on the board here for the show, but you mentioned Lovie Smith. I'm going to go right to it and talk about the Bucks. I still don't know why Lovie Smith has a job. I will ask you this at this point as a pop quiz. Who should be fired first? Lovie Smith in Tampa or Mark Trestman in Chicago?
Trestman.
You think Trestman? Okay.
Most definitely.
Yeah, I'd say Trestman. I have said it before in preseason with the Bucks. They need to give him at least 2 years to get his people in.
Okay.
Bucks defense is what's really hurting him. I mean, I know their offense too. I don't know why they went back to Josh McGowan instead of staying with them.
Because he's Lovie's guy. Lovie loves McCown, apparently. I don't understand it either, other than that. That's all I
right.
got.
So,
you know, I mean, right? Do you have anything else, Weasel? I didn't think so either. I'm just throwing it out there.
So I'd say you give him one more year, or maybe even half a year next year.
Yeah.
If nothing's changed around, then yeah, you make the move. But well, give him at least one full year in there.
Yeah, well, one may ask, Kyle, why do you bring it up in the Bucks in such tragedy? 27-17, the Bucks lose to the Falcons. This is a team that this time, 2 or 3 weeks ago, didn't even really have a full offensive line. Well, they managed to beat you. I'm just saying. Oh, and by the way, they should have beat you by worse, except for Devin Hester dropping a freaking pass in the end zone. Practically right in his hands. So, yeah, maybe it should have been 34-17. I don't know, but whatever. The Bucks still lose. Josh McCown goes back on the field, goes 27 for 43, 301 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. I'm not going to say he was unimpressive, but I'm not really in a place where I thought Mike Glennon would have done better either. Matt Ryan, 20 for 31, had 219 yards and a touchdown, but the proof in the pudding of the Bucks, they recently signed Gerald McCoy at the defensive tackle position to lock him up. Steven Jackson, a running back that Weasel has brought up on this show of being all but deceased in the NFL. 16 carries, 81 yards, and a touchdown. Weasel, I think that you would find that stat probably the most representative of the Bucs defense in this game, yes?
Yeah.
It's among them. I'm just... It says a lot to you. I wanted to give you a shout out. That's all.
I got you.
Mike Evans, of course, the bright spot as a rookie, goes 7 catches for 125 yards and a touchdown, trying to make a late run for Rookie of the Year honors. I don't know that he's going to get it, but it's nice to see him try. I don't know. He's still trying to get the big contract. Anyway, speaking of cats that are trying real hard, the Dallas Cowboys go to London to face the quote-unquote home team, Jacksonville Jaguars. Chris!
Yeah, what have I said before my favorite NFL play is? What? Remember what my favorite NFL play is, or a football play? Doesn't even have to be NFL.
The
crackback.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. That's what Tony Romo has, is a crackback, and he still played. And he led to his team to a 37-17 win over the Jags in London. Romo was 20 for 27, 74%, 246 yards with 3 touchdowns. Blake Bortles, 22 for 37, 59%, 290 yards, no touchdowns, 1 INT. DeMarco Murray had another 100-yard rushing game.
9 out of the first 10 games of the season, 100 yards rushing. Thanks, Brandon Whedon.
And Denard Robinson had 15 carries for 60 yards, but he had 2 touchdowns but 1 fumble. Dez Bryant, 6 for 158 with 2 touchdowns. Jason Witten had 5 for 33 with touchdowns. Cecil Shorts the third, CS3.
CS3. I love that. Carry on.
Had 5 for 119. Basically, the difference in this game was really that they were the Cowboys and they're playing against the Jags. That's basically the difference in the game, really.
Well.
All honesty aside, really, the Jags, their inability to sack Romo with a hurt back, they can't get to him. The Jags were ranked third in the league with sacks this year.
Yeah.
They had 28 sacks going into yesterday's game, and they only got one. They only got Romo once with a hurt back.
I mean, look, I know we're coming off of 2 weeks. Just 2 weeks ago, I should say, that Romo was replaced by Whedon because he got sacked, and that the offensive line didn't protect him well enough on a particular play. That's still a pretty decent O-line. And, I mean, the Jags are a good defense. I think the O-line just did their job. By the way, it doesn't help when you're turning the ball over two more times in the game than the Cowboys were. I'll grant that the Jags did get a safety late in the game, but, you know, come on. I'm saying.
But right now, I brought up Dez Bryant's stats. 6 catches, 158 yards, 2 touchdowns.
That's a contract
year for him.
Okay.
Earlier in the week, he was offered a 10-year, $114 million extension.
Wow, you know what? Did they say anything about guarantee money?
Yeah, $20 million.
That's it for him? Ugh, $20 million.
Okay. Say it one more time. 10 years.
10 years, $114 million. $20 million guaranteed.
My answer, if I'm him, would be much the same. No. No. Okay. Because I'm a commodity, man. People with a quarterback who's gonna be around longer than Tony Romo or go to a team whose contracts are less anchored down by a $55 million guaranteed back problem. Look, I mean, Weasel's like, he was greedy. And I don't blame you at first look when you hear that. What is 150? It's a big number.
Yeah, 114 million.
Yeah. Okay, 11.4 million a year.
Right.
But they want to see, they're looking for that flexible contract because Dez Bryant is a personality. I mean, look, he's not far off from a T.O., minus the criminal record as a youth.
I was actually thinking the same exact thing of what you just said with the T.O. Exactly mentality as because I was listening to the radio today. They're bringing up the contract and everything. I'm like, I look up this contract. And I'm thinking Dez Bryant is like T.O. right now. No, they're not. Teams aren't going to want to give him the guarantee. When he got this offer, he turned it down and he fired his agent. And then he signed with Jay-Z.
Oh, snap.
So I don't know if the Cowboys are going to really give him more guaranteed money now that he's with Jay-Z as his agent.
Weasel, let me ask you this. Top 10, top 5, top 7, what? Where do you put Dez Bryant receiver-wise?
Definitely top 10. I'd say about number 5 in the middle.
Okay, so you're going to say top 5?
Top 5.
Okay, so he's a top 5 receiver.
Yeah.
We all know in this room today that Andre Johnson of the Texans is making $10 million a year salary. Okay, they gave him $11.5 million a year. If you break that down, that's more yada, yada, yada. But the $20 million a year is what the problem is. I think we all agree with that. And it's very interesting that you mentioned Jay-Z being in effect, because something tells me that demographic, that feel from Jay-Z and that crowd won't interact so well with the Jerry Jones crowd. I mean, I'm not saying anything that's out of line there. Am I, Weasley? You're trying to give me that?
Yeah, okay.
You're right. Okay. I think it's very likely that Des Bryant parts if this persists. Now, I know, settle down, Kyle. It's week freaking 11 coming up in the middle of the 2014 season. This isn't a huge deal. They still might sew it up, and that's true. Maybe they're lowballing to start with. Hell, I don't know. Hopefully, if you're a Cowboys fan, you think so, but I don't know. It's very interesting to see. Not to mention, will other teams see Des Bryant as a potential abrasive personality? I don't know. It's a very interesting question. But I'm with Des Bryant. I'd have kicked him down the stairs on that offer too. Right.
And the Cowboys still have the franchise tag they can put on next year. So
ooh, they don't want to make that mistake. Right. I don't think.
It's just that also one thing about Des Bryant was that when he was drafted, people know that the guy has a lot of talent. And in about the early 20s, he got picked. And I'm making a comparison about the guys like, you know, Randy Moss was also picked by the Vikings. Mm-hmm. And the thing about it is that Des Bryant, like especially this past year, he's matured a lot.
I'll agree with that.
He was having, like, the past couple of years, it was like, you know, he was just making mistakes. It was like, I think he had missed some of those.
Jerry Jones was practically having him babysat as a second-year player, if memory serves. Yes, I know exactly where you're coming
but
from.
But this year, the only thing people are talking about Des Bryant is his production. So
that what you said says it all for me. All they're talking about this season is his production.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is it because the Cowboys are doing well? I'm certain that's a factor.
Oh yeah,
but do we think that Des Bryant on a less successful franchise is still the same Des Bryant as he would have been back when the Cowboys were less successful back then? I don't know. That's what you have to determine, and that's what the three of us don't have enough access at this point in time today to really consider.
Yeah.
I was going to talk about games in London, but screw it. This was much more interesting, and I think we're done with that for now, so we're going to go ahead and move on to another game we need to really skip over quickly anyway, in the Broncos taking on... Okay, look. Anybody... Really, we didn't have the Raiders close. It was 41-17, whatever.
Right. It was. Sorry for the Raiders, because Peyton Manning said he played bad last week. So he didn't come out firing. I mean, first quarter, he actually didn't play well either.
He had two interceptions.
Right. So if you look at the halfway through the second quarter and the third quarter is where he threw how many touchdowns? He had five?
He had five touchdowns.
Yeah. From middle of the second quarter to the end of the third quarter is where he threw those five touchdowns.
Well, don't lose heart, Raiders fans. DC4, your quarterback, Derek Carr, did match Peyton Manning in one stat. He, too, had two interceptions on the day. No, I'm not taking anything away from Derek Carr either, but, I mean, you're expecting Derek Carr with Michael Rivera at the tight end spot to keep pace with Peyton Manning and that arsenal of weapons. There are some third world countries that don't have as many weapons in their military arsenal with their gross domestic product and Peyton Manning has in his offensive roster. It wasn't going to go well. It was going to be bad all the way around. And for the sake of my man from the NFL West recess, Jerome Butler, Raider Rome, I'm not going to harp on the Raiders too much more. Weasel, what do you got?
Just a thing on the side about the Broncos. So there was about 47 seconds remaining in the third quarter.
Apparently Weasel wants to harp on it.
No. I'm just saying that.
No, he's talking about the backup here.
Yeah, the Broncos were up 41-10. And so Broncos backup quarterback Brock Osweiler.
Oh, he said it right. Give him props.
Oh, nice. He was drafted in 2012. And the guy runs over to the bench, you know, grabs his helmet, and he's like, yeah. All smiles. And then until Manning runs back onto the field, and they kept the camera on him, of course. And his face was like, it went from smiling to like, aw. Funny thing is that he gave a come on, man. Jester for the cameras and everything.
Dude.
So it was pretty funny. So
get your old butt off the field. I mean, I don't know. That is funny though. He's like, I can't fret on that. Rolando McClain missing seemingly in this game on defense. I don't know about that. The stat I wanted to get into, C.J. Anderson at the running back position had 13 carries for 90 yards, already good, 4 catches for 73, and a touchdown. That's more than the entire Oakland squad had, 15 carries for 30 yards on the day, were the Oakland Raiders.
That's good for C.J. Anderson because the Broncos lost Ronnie Hillman early in the game.
Boom, so. There you go. Okay, full circle. And enough of that game. Next up, another game I want to get through quickly. Titans, Ravens, Weasel Wiz!
Yeah, boy. So the Ravens at home, they defeated the Titans 21-7.
Shocked face.
Yeah. They got rookie quarterback Zach Mettenberger.
That's 2 for 2 on back on quarterback name pronouncings. Well done, Weasel.
Sweet. So he was like 16 of 27, 179 yards, touchdown, INT, sacked twice. And then you got Joe Flacco, 16 of 27, also 169 yards. So I think that applies.
Oh, right. I'm like, what is he talking about?
He was sacked once, so the Ravens did get a boost from their offense with Justin Forsett.
Forsett.
Points for me.
Yeah, that's a name you haven't heard about lately is Justin Forsett. I can't speak for that so much, but
20 rushes, 112 yards, 2 touchdowns. So it's Ravens are still they're still in the mix, definitely. So
yeah, I mean
Titans, not so much.
Well, and you asked the question about the AFC North earlier, right? And I guess the best way to put it is you were talking about the Browns winning division. I mean, I guess the Ravens are still in competition for the wild card, right? I mean, it's not time to close the book on them yet. As much as we love to make fun of Joe Flacco on the show, it's not time to pull the panic button on them yet. I would assume.
No, right? They're sitting seventh right now.
Yeah. Well, we'll get into more on that later. How about that? Actually, I believe that's an
excellent. Sorry, they're eighth. They're behind Pittsburgh, who's in seventh.
Okay. You know what? Let's analyze how good their chances are. We could do that directly in the next game upcoming. Chiefs, Bills, Chris.
Even though Christmas is just around the corner, the Bills were in a giving mood yesterday as they handed the Chiefs a 17-13 win off of 3 fumbles. And the Chiefs improved to 6-3, and the Bills fall to 5-4. In the second quarter, running back Bryce Brown thought he was going to score a touchdown, but fumbled the ball through the end zone for a touchback. The score was 10-3, so it would have been 17-3 at this point.
So what you're trying to say is this mattered.
Yes, it did.
Okay.
Bryce Brown did finish with 100 total yards, 35 rushing, 65 receiving. He was the leading receiver for the Bills. Then in the fourth quarter, punt returner, who's a cornerback, Leotis McKelvin, was stripped of the ball in his own territory that led to an Alex Smith 8-yard touchdown run. That which sealed the game for the Chiefs.
Yeah, we've heard about Leotis McKelvin ruining games for the Bills before. I know it's been a while, but I remember a certain kickoff return where they lined up an onside formation and the Patriots instead kicked it long, and then Leotis McKelvin decided to return it anyway and fumbled the ball and allowed Tom Brady to win week one.
Oops.
I believe you were with me at Gators when it happened. Anyways, please continue, Chris.
Alex Smith was 17 for 29, 59%, only 177 yards. Kyle Orton, 29 for 48, 259 yards with a touchdown. Jamal Charles had 15 carries, 98 yards with a touchdown. The touchdown came on a 39-yard run on a 4th-and-1. They ran a pitch out, and everyone thought they were going to try to just stuff it down the middle with Jamal Charles. And they pitched out to him, and he had the whole corner gone because everyone was crashing in.
Fooled you! That's one I need to get from Spaceballs, right, Weasel? Fooled you!
Classic!
So as I said, you know, Red Zone Chiefs were 1 for 2. The Bills were 0 for 4.
0 for 4.
And then turnovers, 1 for the Chiefs, 3 for the Bills. But right now the Chiefs are sitting in 6-3. They're currently in 5th place. Can they make the playoffs?
See, look. Here's the thing. Can they make the playoffs was the question you posed.
Right.
Because it's the AFC, it's kind of like the East in basketball. Right? So
they just let anyone in?
Virtually. I mean, y'all remember the cluster last year in the AFC when teams, I don't remember if an 8-8 team got in, but they were certainly in contention, right? It's not quite as bad as the 7-9 Seahawks from however many years back. That's still a travesty of American sport. I don't care if they win a playoff game or not. But I say all that to say this. Does anybody take the Bills? Does anybody take either of these teams seriously? I mean, I'm looking at my stats here. Going into this game, the Chiefs had yet to complete a touchdown pass to a wide receiver. I believe that is still true.
It is still true.
Okay. You can't be a damn playoff team if you can't throw a single expletive deleted pass to a wide receiver for a touchdown. Come on, man. I mean, I know that that's a segment that's happening on another channel, you know, for Monday Night Football tonight. But you see where I'm going. And then the Bills. Look, I get that their defense is pretty strong. I get that they have Robert Woods and Scott Chandler and
Mario Williams.
No, the rookie, the receiver. Sammy Watkins, there we go. Yes, they have Mario Williams on defense. It's part of why their defense is good. Guess what? They still have a quarterback who was dethroned by Rex Grossman and Tim Tebow throughout his career. I can't take that seriously. I can't take either of these teams seriously. Well, I don't know. Yeah, enough of that. St. Louis and Arizona.
The answer is no. They're not going to make it because of the rest of their schedule.
Yeah. I don't know. You know what? I've been ranting all this time. Let's go ahead and take a break. You'll hear the reason why I don't take the dang Chiefs seriously. You're listening to the National Gridiron Network, and here's the reason why the Chiefs will not make the playoffs. Student of the Game presents Real Men of Awesome.
Real Men of Awesome.
Today we salute you, Mr. Comeback Commander.
Mr. Comeback Commander.
To get you, your team had to suck. Once they had you, they went from 2 wins to 10.
Who's Peyton Manning?
As a rookie, he had as many or more comebacks than most rookies have wins, which means he also had more wins than most rookies.
Even Unitas.
Are you down 21-3 at halftime? No problem. He'll hit Reggie Wayne for the win. No Reggie Wayne either. Challenge accepted.
It just doesn't matter.
So here's to you, O troubadour of the turnaround. With you on their side, they have more than just luck.
Mr. Comeback Commander.
Student of the Game, National Gridiron Network. And we are back here at the Student of the Game. And while we were on break, Chris reminded me of something. Our next game up is the Rams and the Cardinals. But the reason why they're related here... Just walk. Okay, so we mentioned Kyle Orton being at one point supplanted by Tim Tebow. Chris, go.
All right. Then Drew Stanton, who's going to be starting for the Cards next week, or for the rest of the year also, with the Carson Palmer injury.
Spoiler alert!
Stanton went to Michigan, was drafted by the Lions. He left the Lions, went over to the Jets, and then the Jets picked up Tim Tebow in that offseason, 2 years ago? 3 years ago? 2 years ago?
I'm going to say three. No, two.
Two, right. 2 years ago. Picked them up right after they signed Drew Stanton. So right after they signed up Tebow, Drew Stanton asked for a trade. They traded Drew Stanton over to the Colts, who then drafted Andrew Luck. So he spent 1 year behind Andrew Luck.
<Dang it. laughs>
And then he left and said, well, let me go take my chances in Arizona because they got Carson Palmer out there. I mean, it's but it's funny. It's because of Tim Tebow. There we go. We brought up Tebow for you, Weasel.
Oh, okay.
You better? You look happy.
I'm good. I'm good now.
You know, somebody who may not have looked very happy was indeed Carson Palmer, leaving the game once again with an ACL injury to the same knee he injured back when he was with the Bengals in their playoff game against the Steelers, where the Steelers went on with the Super Bowl, blah, 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 Kimo Van Olhoffen, yada, 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 yakety schmackety. There you go.
Yeah, I think one thing are you going to talk to the...
You can say it in the microphone, Weasel. We have
I guess
a good show here.
We'll talk about the signing of the extension as what it does with Carson Palmer.
Well, let's bring it up now. That's very interesting. So he signed an extension. I believe it was the Thursday before the game.
So, but first, flashback to 2005. So it was the end of December of 2005 where Carson Palmer signed a $110 million contract extension with the Bengals.
That's a lot.
They originally drafted him number one overall back in the day.
Good history lesson.
10 days later, in January of 2006, he tore his ACL in his left knee.
Keep up at Orhoff and why?
So back to the present. You have just this past Friday, Palmer signed a 3-year, $50 million contract extension with the Cardinals.
3 years, $50 million.
Just 2 days later, tore his ACL in the same knee. So he should get those contract extensions like off season. I'm just saying.
No, because it won't be football-related injury when he gets injured the next few days afterwards.
Oh.
And then it won't be covered. Because there's a clause for non-injury or non-NFL injury.
So they're all bummed over in Arizona, but...
Well...
But you got to remember who took him to the playoffs before and Super Bowl was Kurt Warner, who came in.
Well, before we get too far ahead of ourselves here, gentlemen, let's keep in mind, the Arizona Cardinals did still have a commanding win, 31-14, over the Rams, who have caused trouble for virtually every team they played anyway. And the Cardinals had the help of 14 points in defensive scores, one by Patrick Peterson on a pick six, and one by Antonio Cromartie on a fumble recovery touchdown as well. But Drew Stanton did carry some of the load while Carson Palmer was out with a concussion earlier in the year. I mean, look, we don't really have any stats from this game that'll talk for the performance of the quarterback position for the Cardinals. I mean, look, Palmer was doing well before he went out. I like Andre Ellington, the running back. He didn't do very good this game. And that receiver core, if you're going to be put into a situation, you probably could find a way to do worse than Michael Floyd, then Larry Fitzgerald, then Josh Brown, then John Carlson. That's a pretty good core.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody there necessarily a super famous name, but as a team, a good core. And really, I was talking with G Stewie on the phone, and it hit me. He put it best. Balance is the reason why this team's successful. Good core, good run support, offensive line's better than it's been in a while. Defense has also pretty strong on both sides. They got Calais Campbell back, I believe. They got the Honey Badger Teron Matthew back. Patrick Peterson's doing his thing. It's all looking pretty solid, and they're pretty balanced on all sides of the ball, all aspects of the game. They're still going to be a playoff threat. But Bruce Arians made the statement that Drew Stanton is good enough to take this team to the Super Bowl. Pop quiz, true or false? Chris, you first.
To take him to the Super Bowl? That's... I think he's got the talent there. He's just got to get it in the hands. So, I've seen worse quarterbacks get to the Super Bowl.
I'm going to take that as true, Weasel.
And I think all the like points for trying to make a point and stuff, it'll come back to Trent Dilfer. Because in 2000 or so, Trent Dilfer was a good
that was good. No, he's not.
He was okay.
Was bad, Weasel.
But
it was a defense that got Baltimore to the Super Bowl in 2000.
Is that the defense for Arizona could possibly get them to the Super Bowl? Drew Stanton, he's got a decent running game with Andre Ellison, I believe.
Ellington, correct.
Ellington. So, I see some similarities there. You'll have him as Drew Stanton as a game manager, and then their defense will, they have to step it up so they can be good. So I kind of compare the two, and Super Bowl is a possibility.
So I hear true.
Yeah.
I'm with both of you guys. If I was let to stammer and meander and walk around and try to make time pass, much like I'm doing right now with this statement, I would. Because it's just hard for me to think it's possible that if there was ever going to be a franchise that has the possibility of hosting a Super Bowl, being the first team to host a Super Bowl, that being the Cardinals and Palmer's elimination, not to say he's a bad quarterback. I'm not that guy. I think Carson Palmer is probably one of the single most underrated quarterbacks I've witnessed. But I can't rule them out either.
Yeah.
especially with the best, just on the strength of the fact they have the best freaking record in the league, and we'll leave it at that. Next game up, Giants, Seahawks, Chris.
Yeah, beast mode was back as Marshawn Lynch had four of his team's five rushing touchdowns and 140 yards on the ground as the Seahawks ran away with a 38-17 victory over the Giants. Seahawks had 350 yards rushing on the day.
I know some teams that don't get that in 2 weeks. Looking at you, 49ers. I mean, what? No, go ahead.
So, really, the turning point in the game was in the third quarter. It was tied 17-17. Eli tried to throw the ball to Odell Beckham. You know, he's covered by Richard Sherman. Bad ball. It's corner of the end zone. Should be on the outside corner. He threw it kind of inside. Odell Beckham tried making a play, tipped the ball, and the ball was intercepted in the end zone by Earl Thomas. Seahawks went right down the field, scored a touchdown.
On the strength of a pretty good interception return at that.
Right. So then it was 24-17 at the time. Then the Giants, you know, didn't do anything. The Seahawks got the ball, started driving inside Giants territory. Russell Wilson scrambled out. He had 107 yards on 14 carries. They forced a fumble, couldn't recover the fumble. Very next play, Marshawn Lynch gets the ball.
Yep.
Forced a fumble, they couldn't recover. The very next play, Marshawn Lynch scores a rushing touchdown. Put him up 31-17. Next Giants series, Eli Manning just completely loses the ball, fumbles it. No one's near him, just drops the ball. Lose it, and then Russell Wilson scores a rushing touchdown. Make it 38-17. But Odell Beckham, he was covered by Richard Sherman almost the whole game. Had 7 catches for 108 yards.
Wow. That would be the second time he'd be tried by a rookie. The first one, of course, being Kelvin Benjamin, who's playing later tonight, by the way.
So, Eli Manning, you know, had that one interception, one fumble, 283 yards through the air. Russell Wilson only had 172 on 10 of 17 passing. So, really, the Giants team still falls again. They played well in the first half. Forced some turnovers. Forced the two interceptions of Russell Wilson in the first half, but couldn't capitalize on that one game changer right there.
Yeah, I, and the thing I like most about this game, honestly, is that Marshawn Lynch is getting the credit for carrying this team.
Right, and it's about time they started handling the ball more.
I'm glad someone else said it. I'm just saying. Dolphins, Lions, Chris.
All right, the Finns, remember their game last week against the Chargers, how they blew out the Finns?
37-0.
Right. Well, it looked like it was going to be another one this week, but the Dolphins looked like they were going to be on the receiving end as the Lions jumped out to a 10-0 lead in the second quarter, and then Tannehill was intercepted by safety James Itabo. Is that how you pronounce it?
I don't, you know, it being a member of the Lions secondary, I don't know who it is either.
Okay. He returned his 70 yards to only get tackled by Tannehill. You're a safety, and you let... I know Tannehill was a receiver. He's a
very athletic guy, right, dude. I mean, you know.
But follow your blockers. He cut back across the field. If he would have followed his blockers, he would have scored a touchdown. So, as he was getting tackled by Tannehill, he's trying to stiff-arm him and grab the face mask. Got a 15-yard face mask penalty.
Hey, Weasel, you think if Nathan Vasher heard that analysis of getting tackled by a quarterback that he'd say, shut up?
I can say that.
Making reference to Ben Roethlisberger making a game-saving tackle a number of years back to take the Steelers to the Super Bowl, I couldn't resist.
The immaculate reaction.
I that's the name you like. I'll roll with it.
All right, so the 15-yard penalty brought it back to the 30. Very next play, Stafford underthrew Megatron in the end zone.
I didn't know there was such a thing.
And cornerback Brent Grimes, I mean, this is probably like one of the best interceptions I've ever seen.
It's
reached
nice.
Up,
yeah.
Jumped up, grabbed it one-handed, came down one-handed in the end zone for the interception.
To give Grimes credit, he slightly underthrew because this was a great play. I don't care who you are.
Right. It was a good play by
Grimes,
but it was Megatron had to stop and had to try to come back for it. If the ball was in the back corner, it would have been a touchdown.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's true.
Stafford was 25-40 for 280 yards, two touchdowns, one INT. Ryan Tannehill, 27-38, 207 yards with a touchdown and an interception. Megatron, this was his first game back, you know, for with the Lions after his injury. You know, he had 113 yards receiving and a touchdown. Dolphins been looking pretty good lately. It's with their rookie Jarvis Landry, the receiver.
Yeah.
You know, there was a returner receiver. He had 7 catches for 53 yards. Mike Wallace had a touchdown catch. Another reason why this game is close, penalties. Lions had 10 for 98. Finns 5 for 44. And I said the turnovers, 2 for the Finns, 1 for the Lions. But the Finns took a big blow as their left tackle, Brandon Albert, is out for the season.
And certainly a factor as the main element of the Lions' defense, certainly is their line. I mean, look, here's where I'm at. They had – everyone talks about the two-minute drill. What I always found more difficult when I was playing was what a lot of coaches in the vernacular refer to as the three-minute drill. You have a lead. You're up, let's say, 3 or 4 points. You want to hold on to that lead to keep the other team from having enough time to score. The three-minute drill is continue to score the football. Don't make the coaches have put the coaches in a position to have to decide whether or not they want to throw the ball or not. The Dolphins are not designed for this element of football. Okay, it's not. I mean, their offensive line is weak in the middle. We've established that. And good God, and Ndamukong Suh and a line that's weak in the middle. That's just got disaster written all over it. But on top of that, we know their running back situation's pretty hoarded as well. You know, no Sean Moreno, pointless. Daniel Thomas, more pointless.
Yeah, he lost the fumble as well.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's not a situation that the Dolphins are designed for. And they continue to struggle in it. Give the opportunity for the Lions to come back. Matt Stafford makes what I think is a single best throw I've ever seen him make, sidearming a nice little thread to Theo Reddick. Ball game. Simply put, there's your film analysis. Boom.
But the Lions right now are second place with a 7-2 record, just behind the Cards.
Does anybody think that's going to stay that way? I don't. Here's one thing I will say, guys. And I know we already did our midseason awards, and I'm not changing off of Bruce Arians because what he's done for the Cardinals is freaking brilliant. But one person I didn't have on my top three who I should have, and I'm still amazed that the Lions are doing this well under his command, Caldwell. How on world is how is he doing this well as a coach with these guys? Been without Reggie Bush and Calvin Johnson and Brandon Pettigrew at the same time, all at the same time with this team.
It's the front four. They lead the league in sacks to get the one of the best defensive front four, arguably. I mean, with Nick Fairley, Ndamukong Suh.
Yeah.
So what? They lead with sacks. That's what it is.
But pressure. They've had those guys. Why now? I mean, right?
Different play calling. Different coaches, different defense formations, different play calling.
That's where I get to Caldwell the way I do. Weasel, any question on that?
Okay.
I didn't think so.
But they kind of have a little rough schedule the rest of the season, by the way. They have to play Chicago twice. Could be both wins. Play Tampa and Minnesota, both win. That's four games. But
I'm still waiting for the tough, Chris.
Arizona, the Patriots, and the Packers.
So they do have three tough games in there, yeah. Surrounded by some powder puff.
Right, so they could be 11-5.
Wow. Possibly. I'd say the magic number for them to stay in the second seed would be 12, but 11.
But playoffs, yeah. Still make it.
Yeah, seriously. There could be a fifth seed that has 10 or more wins, potentially.
Right.
Anyways, I have WTF in my notes next to this game. Steelers, Jets, Weasel.
So, on the on paper, looks like this would be an
I love it.
Easy road win for the Steelers.
Well, we all thought so.
Look on to the following week. But it turned out to be a big upset as the Jets beat the Steelers 20-13.
Hey, Weasel, you think this is why they play them?
Mm-hmm. That's why they play the games.
I'm just saying.
So, after throwing 6 touchdowns in consecutive games, totaling 12, Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger saw the 1 touchdown pass, but it was late in the game. Garbage-ish.
I like that.
So, but he did have 343 yards, 1 touchdown, 2 INTs, and part of the Steelers, when they went got into some problem, was turnovers. You got, Antonio Brown, you know, he's one of the top wide receivers on the team.
In the league, yeah.
So, yeah, he was the guy that was number 2 to Josh Gordon.
I got you, dog.
But he lost 2 fumbles in the game and 2 INTs. I mean, that's, you know, messed up, but pretty much the bright spot for the Steelers in this game was Steelers rookie wide receiver Martavius Bryant.
Booyah.
So,
you got the hard part
yeah,
right.
Yeah, I know. I was about to say, you got the hard part right. You screw up the last name, Bryant?
Yeah, whatever.
You were doing so well with Mettenberger and Osweiler. Anyways.
So he had an 80-yard touchdown late in the game. So for the Jets, though, new face behind center, Michael Vick. 10 of 18, 132 yards, two touchdowns.
Well, new-ish, but anyway.
With his 39 yards rushing slash scramble,
yeah,
became the first quarterback in NFL history for 6,000 rushing yards in his career.
Damn.
So Swisham, that guy, the kicker for the Steelers.
Sean Swisham, yes. I have trouble with that, too.
It's a chip shot. 23-yard field goal early in the fourth quarter. It was like it goes wide left. I'm like, really, dude? And
here we are in East Rutherford witnessing the sight of the very rare Shankopotamus.
So the game remained 20-3, which if the field goal was made, it would be a two-possession ball game.
Mm.
So Jets, why they hold on was zero turnovers by them, four by the Steelers. And so the Jets got a little bit mad after because they were in the victory formation. Most likely just knee the ball type of thing. So the guy, Mike Mitchell, he tried jumping over the line and causing something, but people didn't like that. So,
I mean, look, guys, you know it's gonna come. Just always be ready. I mean, do we have to go over this again?
Yeah. So
whatever. 2 years ago with
Shiano.
Yes, with the Bucks.
You know, I mean, here's what I noticed too. I don't know if you have the stat, Weasel. The red zone, huge in this game. 1 for 3 were the Jets. That's pretty bad. You can only be worse in one way. If you're 0 for 3, which is exactly what the Steelers were.
That's a big one. So.
So, yeah. Anyways. Last game here on the docket. The 49ers and the Saints. Now, gentlemen, you both know I follow the 49ers pretty closely. And I stated it in the matchup mania for this week leading up to this game that it's a very realistic occurrence that the 49ers could lose this game. But the defense... The defense would be inspired by memories of last year's absolutely heinous crime against the football community that was the illegal contact penalty for hitting Drew Brees in the shoulder that eventually gave the Saints the football game. Affected 7 different teams. I don't have time to walk through how that works out. Trust me, it is that. We've counted it on the show. Chris can verify.
Right. What's funny is that there was an illegal contact yesterday in the Lions-Fins game, too, the same exact way. It came across the shoulders.
Oh, I did
see
that.
And it led to a touchdown. It was on Tannehill. It was led to a touchdown.
Yeah, I did see that. So, anyways, but, well, at least the Lions won that game. I'm moving on. And, well, the defense for the 49ers would come up big in overtime. Fumbling Drew Brees, allowing Phil Dawson to kick the ball through the uprights to win the day. Now, there are some people that are going to call conspiracy on this. One of them, unfortunately, sitting in the studio. By the way, I don't offer a vision plan yet, Weasel, so I can't help you there. But look, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Colin Kaepernick was impressive. 14 for 32, 210 yards with a touchdown and a lost fumble. But... While he did throw less than 50% percentage-wise, he had a crucial 51-yard completion to Michael Crabtree to keep the play alive in the fourth quarter to get the game-tying field goal.
If he would hit him in stride, it would have been a touchdown. The game would have been over.
It was a cross-field throw. Give the dude a break. Anyways, cross-field throw 51 yards down the field, and you're like, hit him in stride! Come on,
dude,
man.
Dude, there's no guy 15 yards from me. He had to die for the ball.
Anyways. Drew Brees went 28 for 47, 292 yards with 3 touchdowns, including a great pirouette to dodge a sack and hit Jimmy Graham in the end zone. He also had 2 interceptions on the day. In the red zone, hugest factor, 2 for 2 were the Saints. But the 49ers, who normally struggle in the red zone, went 3 for 4. And the only time they didn't score in the red zone was in the overtime because they immediately kicked the field goal to win. Now, it was less than 10 seconds, right, Weasel, in the fourth quarter?
Yeah.
Drew Brees heaves the ball down the field for a Hail Mary. Jimmy Graham goes up and catches the football. Touchdown, Saints, game's over. 08 laundry. Offensive pass interference, the call. Now, where I come from, if you use both hands to push a player down, that's offensive pass interference. But Weasel tends to disagree with the call. Walk him through it.
Well, the main reason I disagree is that there is, whenever you play in the NBA, it was so bad because you had players like Ginobili, you had players like, I think Vlade Divac did it, you would have it where if there's a little bit of contact, they'll oversell it. So
they're all European players, you've been saying.
Well, yeah.
Let's not talk about soccer right now, folks.
So in this game, you had Graham, who was about, I think he's about 6'5 or so.
Closer to 6'10.
Yeah, he's like 6'8.
Okay, so he gets in the end zone. Breeze throws a deep pass and right into that group of people. And you have number 20, Parrish Cox, who he put his arms on him. I'm saying it's a pass interference. Yes. But the thing is the guy flopped. It's like he helped his team, you know, win that game by doing that. But the guy clearly flopped. So he put his hands on him. And the thing that you could tell usually on a flop is you flail your arms around. So I was thinking, I was like, you know.
Keep it on the mic, Weasel. We can't hear you.
I was thinking, and I was like, hey, Chris, tell me what you think. Go.
We're not doing this in the middle of the show. This is radio.
I've already seen it. So it was clearly pass interference.
It was clearly pass
interference. The angles I saw, you don't know, but really, Jimmy Graham's arms are bent and they go fully extended. So if it's a flop or not, it doesn't matter. The guy was going down. I mean, you're coming back. You're already off balance going backwards because you're turning to look at the ball.
Look, let's stop all this ridiculousness right here because we do still have to do the study hall. Let's pretend every single solitary thing you say is right. Weasel.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say it doesn't matter that a guy who towers over another human being pushes him over and it's
active. He didn't even need to.
We'll even leave out the part. Yeah, he didn't need to. If he just jumped up and caught it, the game's friggin' over.
Yep.
We'll leave out the fact that he whined like a little girl afterward about the fact it wasn't pass interference and he isn't getting fined. I'll even leave that out because that is kind of dirty pool to fine a man for speaking his mind. I don't like that at all. We'll even leave out the part where the Saints still had an opportunity to win the football game and failed to do it on their own. I just love the part where the Saints got screwed on a call to lose this game after the Niners did last year.
Mm.
If you agree with all that the Saints should have won the game, then at the very least, the thing you can't argue is the poem of the justice that took place.
Yeah.
See, even Weasel's compelled to agree with that. He's like, that's a good point, Cam. Anyways. Enough about that. You ready to go, Chris?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Guess what? It's time for the study hall. See, like, I know you were a little worried about me, Weasel, because we were a little hot before the show talking about it, and you're like, oh my God, what's Kyle gonna do? No, that's huh? We're ready to go.
That's what I saw, and I mean,
you're my brother.
You could disagree. You could disagree if you want.
Well, no. I said even if you were right, all these things are still true.
Mm-hmm.
I'll even let you have it. He's not European. He couldn't afford it.
Yeah.
Chris, what do we got going on?
Dwayne Wade. Oh. There we go.
Dwayne Wade. This isn't my...
What? He's done. Done.
He doesn't flop. He's just got a bad knee. I'm joking with you, dude.
Okay, go
ahead.
Ahead,
Chris.
All right, last week in the picks... I was 8-4. You and Weasel were both 9-3.
Creeping up.
But you
still suck.
You're five games back from me. You got a one game lead over Weasel
because
Weasel picked for some reason. Weasel picked the Giants over the Colts last week.
Were
on
you
Monday
flopping,
night.
Weasel? Is that what?
So going from there, first game Thursday night, we got the Bills at the Dolphins. Dolphins are going to get revenge since they lost to the Bills earlier in the year. They shouldn't have. They got actually blown out, I believe. And so I'm going to go with Dolphins.
You know, as hard as it is for me to pick in favor of a quarterback that got replaced by both Rex Grossman and Tim Tebow, here's what I know. Right now, the Dolphins are weak in the middle of their line, whereas the Bills are not. I'm in the awkward position of expecting Tannehill and company to make mistakes on defense because of this fact. I have the Bills. Weasel.
I'll take Miami this game. It's you never know what happens in divisional matchups, but
damn it, now I'm contrarian. This sucks.
Next game, NFC North, you get the Vikings at the Bears.
Good God!
Game for last place in that division.
This is a turd fest, definitely
at Chicago.
Yeah, it's at Chicago. Yeah, it's pretty bad, but the way that Chicago's been playing, I'm going Vikings. There's no way I can pick the Bears right now. I'm going Vikings.
There's a handful of teams I would pick. Yeah, you know what? You're right. I got the Vikings. I can't do it. Weasel.
It's tough, man. Bears offense should not be this bad, but...
But they are. That's the problem.
It shouldn't, but... Definitely, I'll go Vikings.
Here's the difference. The Vikings players kind of want to play. It looks like the Bears players don't want to play.
That screen touchdown by Randall Cobb. Absolutely. I haven't seen more quit on a football field than I have in some place that has a lot of quit. With Chris.
I just went absolutely nowhere.
Really did. Kind of like the Bears offense. Boom, save.
Texans at the Browns. it's a little tough game to pick. I'm going to go Browns.
Yeah, I am too. I mean, I'm very curious about J.J. Watt. I'm hot for J.J. Watt. Deal with it. Brian Hoyer, look, you're going to have a problem. Unfortunately, so too will Ryan Fitzpatrick or Ryan Mallett. I don't care who you are. The Browns defense is pretty legit. I got the Browns. Weasel.
We'll see if Jadavian Clowney. We'll see if he returns, and because a lot of players are calling like soft and stuff. So,
soft?
Yeah. So we'll see if he returns, but I got the Browns.
All right, next game, you got the Seahawks at the Chiefs. Seahawks don't travel well, but if they run the ball, they'll win. And also, I mean, you got the Legion of Boom back there. You got Richard Sherman and that, but Chiefs don't use their receivers anyway, so I got the Seahawks.
The Chiefs don't use their receivers, which means that Richard Sherman can be put on Jamal Charles directly, and the Seahawks win the game.
That'd actually be a good matchup.
I'm trying to tell you, Weasel.
I think audible-wise, I think these are the two teams that have, you know, the loudest home crowd. So
this one,
it's the Chiefs at home, but I got to go otherwise. So
Seahawks, all three, well,
Seahawks,
all the way around.
Yeah, I got it.
You got the Falcons at the Panthers. We don't know what's going to go on in tonight's game with the Panthers.
And I still don't care. I got the Panthers.
Yeah, I got the Panthers.
Yeah, Panthers.
That's right. I'm saying even if Cam Newton gets hurt, Derek Anderson will beat the Falcons. Yes.
Then you get the Bengals at the Saints. The way the Bengals played against the Browns didn't look all that great. They were looking decent before that, but I'm going to go Saints.
You know, I've been a Bengals guy for pretty much the past two seasons here, this one current and last year, thinking they're going to do good, and they don't. Right now, I'm very Bengals pessimistic. They don't have Giovanni Bernard, even though they do have A.J. Green. And the Red Rifle, a man I'd like to see do well, is not of late. I mean, what was it, two or three interceptions he had, Weasel?
I believe it's two.
Okay, yeah, that's not good. Obviously, I'm gonna go with the Saints in this one, and you know, maybe the in-laws will have something to redeem themselves after that. Niners win. Yeah, Thanksgiving's gonna be better for Kyle. Okay, enough about that, Weasel.
I'm the same.
Bengals?
No.
He wants the golden helmet.
Yeah, Saints are gonna be mad. So.
Next game, we get the Bucks at the Skins. I'm going Skins.
I'm going to just talk about this one because that was a good point about the Saints being mad in the previous game. We all know I'm picking the Skins, but that was a good point you made about the previous game. We did a good job.
So it's
Bucks or Skins?
Skins.
Bucks, Skins, yeah.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah. You got the Broncos at the Rams. Rams gave a lot of challenges to some of these teams, but... Not against Peyton Manning.
Yes,
Broncos.
Because Peyton Manning, right?
Yeah, Broncos.
You got Niners at the Giants. Yeah, like the Giants, I got Niners.
Yeah, I mean, dude, with as hurt as the Giants are, it's not the Giants' fault. And I see a lot of nightmares in Eli Manning's dreams upcoming here, especially with you got some of these defensive players returning. They're not all that great against the run. I mean, 350 freaking yards. Yeah, the Niners may not do that, but they'll do pretty well with Carlos Hyde and Frank Gore. I got the Niners. Weasel.
I'll go with the Niners, too.
All right, we got Raiders at the Chargers. I got Chargers.
Screw it. I got the Chargers. Weasel.
We got the Chargers.
You got the Eagles at the Packers. You got Mark Sanchez for the Eagles. We don't know how he's going to do tonight, but I'm going Packers.
It's going to be a shootout. And at the end of the day, I like Clay Matthews and Julius Peppers as a defensive combination more than I do than what the Eagles have to offer. The slightly better defense will be the difference as the Packers overcome the Sanchez. Weasel.
The offense is clicking. I got the Packers.
Does that hurt to say for you?
Huh?
I said, does that hurt?
I'm okay. Good.
It'll probably get him slapped by his wife when he gets home, though.
I'm good.
So in that sense, it would hurt. Yeah. But
all right, next game, you get Lions at the Cardinals. This is probably the hardest game of the week. Well, one of the two. There's another game here.
I agree.
So Lions at Cardinals. I'm just thinking, what can Drew Stanton beg? They do have a balanced team. But, I mean, the Lions front four. Carson Palmer got beat up yesterday with the Rams defensive line.
Yeah.
What is Dominican Sue going to do against Drew Stanton?
Yeah.
But the rest of the Lions defense, I'm going to go with Cardinals.
You know, how do you beat a good defensive line? Balance. The Cardinals have it. I'm going to pick the Cardinals here, and the Lions may very well prove me wrong. This is the second hardest game to pick because the third hardest was the one we just did, and the hardest one will be the next one, I think. Weasel.
Drew Stanton. I am going to pick the Cardinals.
Yeah.
They're at home, too.
I thought you were going to say Lions.
So. Yeah, I thought he was going to go Lions, too. I'm like, man, he's really going to.
Contrarian.
You get the Patriots at the Colts. This is the hardest game.
It is a hard game.
This one might be a shootout, but the way the Patriots have been putting up, I mean, they are coming off a bye. I'm going Patriots.
Look, everyone, rightly so, will be making this game about the Pats offense with Tom Brady and the Colts offense with Andrew Luck. We all know that. You know it. I know it. Weasel knows it. Everybody knows that that'll be the feature. The defense is what we need to talk about in this game. Name two defensive players for the Colts. Go.
I'm like, he's hurt.
Well, he was suspended. Mathis, no, he's not. Yeah. But Robert Mathis is out, right, too. And give credit to Vontae Davis, their top corner. I can't really name another guy either. Right. That's the thing. I know they got Tony Gerard Eddy. I would only win on a technicality. No one else has heard of Tony Gerard Eddy. The reason why I have this is a 49er, former 49er defensive tackle, who are not, I'm sorry, not Gerard Eddy, Jean-Francois. He's a former 49er defensive tackle, Ricky Jean-Francois. Only reason why I know him. Not to mention, how many defensive tackles have a French-sounding name? Andrew Luck needs this game for legacy purposes because, he never beat Tom Brady or Peyton Manning head-to-head. Well, actually,
he did beat Peyton Manning last year.
But that's a different thing. Yeah, in his opening and the first time he's playing him. So that's an untrue statement. But, he never beat Tom Brady and Tom Brady's better than Andrew Luck. First of all, stop it, because Tom Brady can't run like him. I don't want to hear it. But, yeah, I don't think he's winning this one. I got the Pats. Weasel.
Okay, so Pats. Let's see.
Pats Colts.
I'm going to go, offensive showdown. I'll go with the Colts.
Damn it. I'm the only one that picked anything different the whole time.
No, I picked Pats.
No. Different throughout. Like, I went contrarian with the Bills. Now I'm screwed. I'm going to lose ground.
Well, no, because he's going Colts. We're both going Pats.
Oh. So. Thank you, Weasel.
He said Colts.
I mean, he's still going to gain a game.
Monday night, you got Steelers at the Titans. I feel sorry for the Titans, how bad the Steelers are yesterday. They're going to throw like 8 touchdowns this week.
Yeah, great. Yeah, Ben Roethlisberger will throw 18 touchdowns in 3 out of 4 weeks. Got it.
I think this was the exact same thing that was we were talking about the Jets and stuff when you made the pick about the Steelers. So
you got the Titans?
I got the Steelers. Yeah. No Titans.
No Titans. Just to make sure. Wow. Anyways,
playing down to the competition, I think it was.
No, I think that's a fair assessment all the way around. Another fair assessment. We had an awesome show. Good times. Could of course check us out on the website ngscsports.com. We're also available on Spreaker and iHeartRadio. If you want to check us out there as well with NGSC Sports. And of course, I'm going to be writing up the Matchup Mania, which will come out late Wednesday night. You can read it Thursday while you're at work on ngscsports.com. Not to mention all the great stuff we have there. The desperate pleas of a Bears fan and what it is to really be a true fan coming from G. Stilo here on our website just tonight as well. It's a piece I read. Worth checking out because it's kind of humorous and smart, provocative stuff all the way around ngscsports.com. Check it out. So with that, we'll go ahead and clear out here so we can get in to give time for the college cram that follows us here with Andrew Glukov and Josh Zimmer to talk plenty of college football. But beyond that, gentlemen, go ahead and pack up your bags. Because class... See, I was almost going to play the bell and it was going to play, huh? But class is dismissed.